the NHL Draft on WGR. Who will the Sabres select?
On behalf of the Buffalo Sabres, proud to select.
Hear it live on the home of the Sabres.
And now, with all the coverage of the NHL Draft, here's your host, Brian Koziel and Brayton Wilson.
Mirka, very unique package to be able to move the way he does at 6'6". Almost more agile with the puck, if that's possible. A smart player at both ends. I was over in the Czech Republic early in the year when he wasn't getting a lot of playing time in the men's league over there. To see what he was willing to do to move to North America. Comes from, you know, a background where he has very little in the way of resources for hockey or anything outside of hockey. Uprooted, you know, high character kid. Mirka, very unique package.
All right, that is Sabres Assistant General Manager Jerry Fortin. His thoughts on Radim Mirka, who now the Sabres have selected. He made those comments earlier this week at the pre-draft press conference, and we wanted to give you his thoughts there on Mirka. We'll hear from Mirka actually here this segment coming up in just a minute. He is speaking with the media right now, so we'll turn that around for you and have that conversation here in just a few moments. All right, we're bringing you back here to our NHL draft coverage as we get into our number three. Brian Koziel, Brayton Wilson, Zach Jones, coverage of the NHL draft on WGR. Brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, and by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. Columbus just made their pick at 14, and Brayton, it's Jackson Smith, a defenseman of the WHL.
So, if, funny enough, in my mock draft, I had Jackson Smith going to the Penguins, I think at pick 12. And originally, I had him slotted in to go to Columbus at number 14. So, but really, really strong skating defenseman, motors up the ice very, very well for a guy of his size, 6'3", 190 pounds. Skating is his best asset. He's not the strongest shot defenseman, but he's agile, he's quick, good motor to him. He passes still very well in transition. You know, and the big thing about him is he's actually going to go play at Penn State this upcoming year. So that'll be the next big thing for his development going forward, is to go and play some collegiate hockey and work his way up that way through the college ranks to get to the NHL.
All right. So Jackson Smith.
Very good pick for the Blue Jackets.
Yeah. Pick 15. By the way, Johnny Gaudreau's wife ends up making the pick during the commercial break, and Brayton got a standing ovation.
Yes.
Obviously, and Zach, you said it well. I mean, just, you know, a story that we wish hadn't had to get the feels about it all, obviously.
That was one of the most devastating stories to happen in the NHL in years, losing Johnny Gaudreau, who was still in the prime of his career. Him and his brother were, obviously, for people that don't know, they were biking together in New Jersey. They were in their hometown for a family,
a wedding. Yeah.
And they were both run over by a drunk driver and both killed, which was just horrible.
Right.
Heart-wrenching stuff.
It's tough to even think about. It's awful. Yeah. But kudos to his wife for coming out there and, you know, wanting to kind of keep hockey alive and his memory alive.
She's done a lot for the Blue Jackets this year. Yeah. Absolutely. Sean Monahan, who just signed with the Blue Jackets, I believe, this past offseason, like last summer.
Yeah.
Just because he loved playing with Johnny Gaudreau. He played with him for years in Calgary. They were best friends. He goes to Columbus for the sole reason of playing with Johnny Hockey again. And then his best friend dies before the season even starts. And Sean Monahan got the Masterton Trophy this year for perseverance and everything like that, while also playing with, you know, the skill and everything that makes him a good player.
Yeah. There's no real smooth transition here off of this
topic
never
is.
To hockey, so we're just going to go. One of the checks in the resume of now Sabres assistant to the general manager, Jarmo Kekäläinen, was signing of Johnny Gaudreau, Zach.
Yep.
So, you know, we hope that the Sabres would how he was able to pull off that deal that at the time obviously seemed very shocking to the rest of the hockey world, that he was able to get the biggest free agent name to come to Columbus, who definitely is not known to be a hockey power or what you would consider to be a, you know, prime destination for the best hockey free agent in the world to to go to, and he got him to come to Columbus.
And that, I mean, that's really been Kekalainen's big thing. Were they able to make the playoffs, win a playoff series? Yeah. Was it super, like, perfect? No.
Right.
But, like, that was kind of the calling card, is that Kekalainen would make moves for Columbus, a team that was desperate to become relevant in the NHL, desperate to become that sort of hockey town. I mean, it's so dominated by Ohio State, and they have a really difficult time doing so, and that was such a stunning move. Because I remember that free agency, it was like Philadelphia, New Jersey. Like, those were the teams. Columbus was never on anyone's radar, and it happened. I mean, I tweeted sort of as a joke, but I kind of mean it seriously. Like, for tonight, I really wanted Jarmo Kekalainen to be like the evil Kermit talking to Kermit Kevin Adams. We'll see what it ultimately means. It was a bit of a pop to the balloon kind of feeling when you found out Kekalainen is still obviously living in Columbus, which I think most of us assumed he'd be in Buffalo. But he is at the draft, right? Or not at the draft, but in Buffalo for the draft
with
right now.
With the rest of the team, yeah.
With the rest of the team. I do wonder what the plan is there with Kekalainen, because many people, when he was hired to his position, the feeling was, oh, I take him as the general manager. And so now the hope is, well, is he going to be maybe the heir apparent? What's going to go on there? You know, what have you. It's just, he's somebody I look at. I really hope the connections kind of bring more credibility to the Sabres with someone like Nikolaj Ehlers, who it all reports have he's going to maybe not leave Winnipeg, but at least hit the open market.
Want to see what's available.
Want to see what's available, and that's somebody I really like to see the Sabres add, being a 25-plus goal scorer the last 2-3 years. They haven't needed a top-six forward, and he'd be one of those guys, and he'd be somebody. Like, I'm at a point now, and it's 2 years ago, I was all for youngest team in the league. Let's go. Like, it's just young, up-and-coming. Now I'm much more in the, no, give me some 28-plus-year-olds. Like, I need some adults in the room. I need some guys that have been there, done that.
What I think Kekalainen also does, let's just say he does absolutely nothing, but that's obviously not going to happen. But what I mean is, him being there has an immediate factor in the sense that the heir apparent kind of label that you put on it, to me it says this: if Terry Pegula wants to make a move to change general managers, what do you have to do? Well, you have to fire the guy that you have, and now you have to do a search, and now you have to do the interviews. You have to figure out, you have to find a guy that maybe you like or that fits the personality. We obviously know, rightly or wrongly, and whatever fans are going to say, Terry Pegula wants to be involved in daily conversations and possibly hockey decisions. So you want to know that you're going to be able to work with somebody as an owner if that's part of what Terry Pegula values, and it sounds like he does. The fact that he's already on your payroll, the fact that he's already in your, in your franchise and in the room, like, essentially, now it's remotely big in the room, that puts pressure on Adams. All right, more on that in a moment. Vancouver at 15 is ready to pick.
Gold Club, strung on his skates, two-way winger, Mikhail Samuelsson.
What's up, Billy? I'd like to thank LA for hosting this great event. Also want to give a shout out to all our fans back in Vancouver. Thank you for your support. Also want to say congrats to the Florida Panthers, back-to-back Stanley Cups. Very well done. All right. With the 15th selection in the 2025 NHL Draft, the Vancouver Canucks are proud to select from the Seattle Thunderbirds, Braden Coates.
All right, Braden Coates to the Vancouver Canucks. They're obviously pretty familiar with him, playing just over the border in Seattle for the WHL. Braden, how about this selection right here by Vancouver?
Yeah, really good, electrifying player down the middle. He's not the biggest guy on a given night, but he certainly plays big for the size that he is. 6 foot, 183 pounds, just really strong lower half of his body. Good ability to protect the puck, really hard to take down. He's not the fastest guy, but definitely can keep his feet moving and do a really nice job of keeping up with the play at whatever pace is going. Super good puck handler, dangles with the best of them, has a decent shot to his arsenal. He's got soft touch, which allows him to be a really nice passer. certainly this was a guy that I thought was going to be right here in the middle of the pack here, anywhere between like picks 14 and 18 for a team that really wanted him, and really nice pick here for the Canucks for getting strong value.
Okay, and now a team that has interesting in his name tonight, because they've already picked tonight, Brayton, and that is also the fact that they traded away Noah Dobson. The Islanders have the next two picks.
Yep.
If you're following Brayton's mock draft, he is fully aware. Yes, he has Montreal there. So
yep.
The trade happened just before before the draft tonight. But let's recap this trade real quick here, Brayton. Actually, before we do that, do we have Paul? No, we don't. Not yet. Okay, we'll get to Paul in a moment. This trade. Where do you see it in terms of Montreal and the Islanders? These are two teams, and Zach, you can jump into this too if you want. These are two teams, the Islanders and the Canadiens, that I would say the Sabres should be realistically aiming, like, okay, who can we pass that were ahead of us last year? You have to get into the top eight in some capacity. Who are teams that were ahead of us, whether they were outside of the playoffs or in the playoffs, that you maybe can get ahead of? Montreal was the eight. They were in. So,
yep.
But Montreal got better here, right?
Yeah, they
so,
did.
So, like, passing them, that makes it a little tougher, right?
Yeah, they're looking really good for the future, too, because they had Laval, who beat Rochester in the playoffs.
Yes.
They have some pretty
got a
decent
deep,
prospects.
They're deep pool.
Yeah, they're very deep in their prospect pool. They got Dave Reinbacher, who they selected fifth overall a couple years ago, who's a really good right shot defenseman that is coming up real nicely for them. That's Montreal is a team that they just continuously seem to win no matter what they get. They get maybe their next top defenseman in Noah Dobson here going forward. Just it is frustrating.
Hudson.
It's frustrating to see that, you know, the Sabres are still where they are right now, and they're making moves that are just kind of like, I mean, the Paterka trade. Yeah, Kesselring is a good player defensively. He's a top four guy now and the right side of essentially. Josh Doan has good potential, but is he more than just a bottom six forward? I don't know. And you gave up a guy that can probably get to 30 goals going forward and consistently score in the league. You know, you're just making moves here that just don't move the needle for anybody, even on the outside looking in. Nobody's going to look at the Sabres and realistically think, oh, yeah, no, the Sabres are going to be better. They were saying that a couple years ago. Just how quickly things change in a matter of 2 years. And now I think most people around the league would just look at Buffalo and just be like, yeah, no, they're probably going to be in the bottom again. I think it was Greg Wyshynski yesterday saying that, you know, he kind of alluded to the fact where it's just like, well, maybe they're going to, you know, with a stacked draft class coming up in 2026, that they'll do a soft, quiet tank here.
Yeah.
I don't know what more people are going to be willing to take without another year of playoffs. 15 years without a playoff?
There were two teams that the Sabres definitely, I thought, should have been better than on paper. That was Ottawa and Montreal, and they both got
even Detroit.
Postseason. Yeah.
Even Detroit,
right.
They finished behind Detroit.
Yeah. All right, more in a moment on this, but let's head now to One Bills Drive, where the Sabres have their draft headquarters today. And Paul Hamilton, Paul just listened in on the Zoom call with Radim Mertka. We're going to play that next segment as Mertka spoke with the media. Paul, what are your initial thoughts here on this big defenseman that the Sabres took at pick 9?
Yeah, it's we kind of anticipated that might be the pick as we've been leading up to draft day. Of course, you never know, but there Atchison was somebody that people talked about who was still on the board then, and last I looked, I think Columbus was the last pick I saw, and he was still on the board then at 14. But the kid's seems like a really nice and proper kid. He smiled the whole time talking. Really seems excited, especially he says Darlene's one of his idols, and he's really looking forward to learning from him. I don't know what many people were expecting. One of the most comments I saw was another project. If somebody wants to do research and look back, not too many number 9 overall picks head right to the NHL. That's what you're going to get when in the NHL. That's what the NHL draft is developing players. It's going to be 2 years probably before you're going to get an opportunity to see him in Buffalo. But you know, it's a guy that he's big, but he isn't real aggressive, you know, from a lot. Even Jerry Fortin was talking about that. So, you know, they've got guys who are big and not aggressive, and Samuelson and Power. But that's something he also can learn as he stays in junior hockey. As I said, he's not going to be in Buffalo next year. He's going to be, I would imagine, back with Seattle and playing in the Western League, which can be a tough league too. So he talked about the thing that he would like to improve on the most is his skating. He feels that he can improve his skating and will improve his skating. And considering he said when he came to Seattle this year, he really didn't know English that well at all. He thought he did.
Yep.
He said he had taken English classes, but when he actually got to Seattle, he couldn't understand anybody. He didn't know what people were saying, and it wasn't the same thing. So that was something that he had to deal with when he got to Seattle, is just the language barrier. He's not too bad with English now. I mean, it's not the best I've heard in the world, but it certainly isn't even close to the worst. So he seemed to have caught on with it a little bit. So it's a big defenseman, a right-handed shooting defenseman who are valued. And, you know, there was criticism on the panel there that I heard before we turned the TV down. The Sabres have defensemen. Maybe do a little research. They're not real filled with defensemen as far as got that are, you know, there. Yeah, their last two second-round picks are right-handed shooting defensemen in college hockey right now. But how much longer are they going to be in college hockey and then play in Rochester and get here? And you know, you figure Clifton is a guy that they aren't really all set on defense, as that was said on that panel. Clifton probably has one more year, and that's the end of him. How long is Bernard Docker going to be on actually one of their top six? I could envision him maybe being their number seven guy or something like that for a little bit while. So Byram will leave a hole. Samuelson, you know, by all rights, probably should be traded. So I don't understand where people are coming from with they're all set on D. I don't even think they're close to being all set. I'll use that in quotations.
Right.
So, and you know, Brayden, this guy isn't going to be here this year, probably next anyway.
No, and absolutely, Paul. And we've talked about this. You've seen it. He, you know, the Sabres have a problem when it comes to trying to push some of their younger talent too far and trying to get them to the NHL a little too quickly. And, you know, this draft class, this prospect in particular, Radim Mirka, he's going to need some time to round out his game a little bit better. And, I mean, I personally thought, you know, his skating looked just fine at the Western Hockey League level. But, again, it's Western Hockey League kids that are ages 16 to 20 years old. They're all going to look different against players their age and players at the competition that are just at the same level compared to when they jump to the AHL, when they jump to the NHL. I mean, Mirko was playing with professionals in the Czech League, and the Czech League is one of the toughest leagues to play in because you're playing on a huge ice surface and you're also playing against men, and he was 17 years old trying to make his way at that level, and he probably needed that jump to go to the Western Hockey League to try to find his game a little bit and to really round it out better amongst kids that are his age level, that is at his level. I think it is going to take a few years, and that's not a problem. I don't have any problem with them making this pick and allowing him to develop, but I really love the assets and the intangibles and the size and his reach. I mean, one of the things about Mirka is he's the second defenseman off this board. He arguably is seen as the second best defenseman in this entire class and the best right shot defenseman. And the one thing the Sabres need, and as any team really does, is good right shot defensemen.
And let me bring up Komarov to you. I mean, here's a guy who was in the Quebec League. He was the best. He was won the best defenseman award. I mean, he won a Memorial Cup there, played very well in that league. Got to Rochester, though, and still needs development. I mean, and that was the, quote, best defenseman in the Quebec League that came in. Now, he has size, and, you know, he's going to have to work on his skating. I don't think his skating looked all that bad when he was playing junior. Because, again, I saw him in the Memorial Cup and everything, but then you see him get to pro hockey and you could tell, and you can improve your skating, and that's the thing. I mean, and that's something I'm sure he'll be working on in this offseason, but there's a good example there. We're talking about the best defenseman in the Quebec League, but yet he didn't come up and rip up the American Hockey League his first year.
Yep. Paul did, and we're obviously going to play it next segment, but was Mertke asked about what is next for him in terms of where he might play this fall?
No, but I think basically the thought is it's going to be in Seattle.
Okay.
You know, he's you know, certainly not ready for this. And you know, I think he enjoyed coming to the Western League. You know, it wasn't working out for him. He just wasn't getting the ice time when he, you know, he was playing over in Czech. I want to call the Czech Republic. Let's call it Czechia.
The Czech
That's the third
league.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. In my lifetime, we've called that country three different things. So,
yeah. It's Czechia. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, anyway, so, you know, he didn't get a lot of ice time. So I imagine that, you know, Seattle's going to want him back. And it seemed like, you know, he had a good experience there. So, you know, it seemed like that might be where he'll wind up.
Okay. Paul, thank you for your insight. We're going to listen to Mertke coming up next segment. Are we expecting that Kevin Adams will talk to you guys at some point here?
When it's over.
Yeah. Okay. Beautiful. All right. We will talk to you later on when we hear from Kevin Adams. Thanks so much.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, great. Paul Hamilton out at Orchard Park when the Sabres GM speaks. We'll obviously have that for you as well. Okay, timeout here. Actually, before we go timeout, Brayton, next pick off the board here. The Islanders have two in a row at 16-17 because of the Dobson trade with Montreal. Montreal held both of those picks. They go with Victor Eklund, a guy that you actually had going a handful of picks higher.
Yeah, I love Victor Eklund. Again, just a really, the Energizer Bunny, as I said earlier, just a tenacious player, gets in on everything, is not afraid to go full bore and play physical, play fast. He's got good offensive upside. Again, I think just the fact that he's just small. He's 5'10", 5'11", 161 pounds. He's going to need to build out that frame, but he's a smart player, and the Islanders just landed maybe one of the better prospects. I mean, they've got the number one pick, and then they just landed Victor Eklund with 16. They've by far blown out the competition in terms of, at least in my opinion, winning this draft right off the bat.
Yes, when for those of you that are looking for draft grades,
yes,
they probably are getting an A as of this point.
And it's not just because they got the number one pick. They get Victor Eklund, who's a really good player.
And they're going to get another good player coming up at pick 17. We'll tell you who that is when we return, and we'll also have the Zoom call right here from Radim Mertke, the newest Buffalo Sabre. That's coming up next on WGR. .32 is the time here as we welcome you back. Our continuing coverage of the NHL draft and a pick just in Brayton for the Islanders going back to back here.
Yep.
And what do we have? A defenseman now off the board.
Yes, Kashawn Aitchison goes with the 17th overall pick, and the Islanders are just, this is definitely a draft where they're going to look back on this and they're going to look at this and be like, yeah, that's three pivotal pieces to the future of the organization here. Because the thing about Kashawn Aitchison is he is a super, super lovable type of guy from the blue line. He's just a guy who can hit, score, fight, pass, skate. He can do it all. You know, he just kind of needs to mold himself into like that really solid presence on the blue line and be a little smarter with his decision making. I think was a little maybe overhyped over the process of this draft, but I mean, he's a guy who scored 26 goals from the blue line. 26 goals in 64
games.
That's
amazing.
That is really good.
At any level.
At any
level.
That is really good. And I think a lot of players see Kashawn Aitchison not as a offensive type defenseman. They see him as the grind it out, fighting type of guy who'll drop the gloves at a heartbeat to defend his teammates and everything. The Islanders got a player that the fans are going to absolutely fall in love with. He's going to sell tons of jerseys. He's going to be a face of that organization just for the type of defenseman he is. It's going to be interesting to see how he develops from here. Can he still be an offensive-style defenseman and still be the physical and, you know, grind it out, punch you in the face type of guy? We'll see.
Yep. Okay, so we're going to hear from Mertke here in a moment. But to finish our conversation before, I asked you, can the Sabres be ahead of Montreal? Can the Sabres be ahead of the Islanders? We already mentioned that Ottawa made the playoffs last year. Ottawa was the 7, Montreal was the 8. They were the last two teams in as the two wild cards, reflecting on last year's standings. Well, you have the Red Wings in the division that also finished ahead of the Sabres, and the Islanders were amongst another collection of teams from the Metro that were also ahead of the Sabres. So,
yep.
I mean, well, let's face it. They only finished ahead of the Bruins and the Flyers. So, I mean, when you start to sit here and say, okay, tell me how the Sabres make the playoffs, my response always is, well, tell me who they're ahead of. Are they going to be better than Toronto, Tampa, or Florida, the top three in the division?
Unlikely.
Okay.
I'd say Tampa takes a step back.
Okay. 100% for me, definitely not better than Toronto, definitely
nope.
not better than Florida.
No, I agree.
I agree that is there a window of Tampa being older that you could see them take a step back?
I think their window's closed.
Possibly.
I think their window has closed. I know they still have Hedman. They still have Vasilevsky, Point, Hagel, Cirelli.
I look at their goal differential, plus 75, number one in the East.
Yeah.
They still get great goaltending and still can score.
But then they come to the playoff time and they just...
They didn't. Right.
I think they're still playoff
but,
time. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
but I
regular
think,
season-wise, yeah.
I think their window to win a Stanley Cup has closed.
So the top three in the Metro, regardless, the Sabres, it doesn't even matter if they have more points than all of them. It doesn't matter. Those three are in because of the mm-hmm. NHL format. Thank mm-hmm. you. NHL for another... fun, quirky thing. So then you've got to be one of the two wild cards. Well, Ottawa had 97, Montreal had 91.
Mm-hmm.
They were the two in. Could we foresee or forecast a scenario where 2 weeks from now, the draft is over, trades are done, free agency is essentially done, where the Sabres look better on paper than both Ottawa and Montreal? I know you made a strong case for not Montreal last
not
segment.
Not Montreal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even Ottawa, like... I just don't know how right now you look at the team.
Well, look,
and
they
expect
had 97
them to be any better.
They had 97 points, almost 20 more than they had 18 more points
mm-hmm.
than the Sabres. So I mean, can they make up 9 wins on Ottawa from next season? That's a lot.
It is.
It's 18 different points to make.
It's a
up.
Lot to ask.
Yeah.
It is a lot to ask out of this team. I'm pulling up Montreal's. Like their depth chart, their prospects and everything like that. And it is like even in the NHL right now, guys that they've drafted, guys that have been developed and are here. It starts with Lane Hutson, who won the Calder as the rookie of the year. Super good puck moving guy, skating guy from the blue line. How he ended up falling in the draft in his draft year, being a second round pick in 2022 is beyond me because he's already one of their best defensemen. Caden Gooley, they drafted high a few years ago. He's already developed. Ivan Demidov is already in the NHL playing with them. He was drafted last year, 5th overall. Really freaking good. Juraj Slafkovský was the first overall pick in 2022. He's had an impact on them. Of course, Cole Caulfield has been a really nice add for really nice just player to develop for them. Kirby Dach, a nice add if he could stay healthy. And then... you know, you look at their prospect system again. I mentioned earlier you got David Reinbacher, who's developing really, really well. They got Philip Mishar, who's a former first-round pick. Luke Tuck, brother of Alex Tuck, he's developing right now in the AHL. And they've just drafted well. They continue to find nice pieces that can contribute at the NHL level and who are still developing the AHL level. Montreal's going to be a tough team to try to climb over them in the next few years. Ottawa's getting better, too.
Right.
There's got to be some move that the Sabres can make that gets them. They have to have something fall their way, and I can't see it right now. Do we want to take the Flames pick?
Yeah, let's take the Flames pick, and then we'll hear from Radim Mirka.
Co-captain of their 1989 Stanley Cup championship team and a 1992 Hockey Hall of Fame inductee, Lanny McDonald.
Thank you very much to the LA Kings and the National Hockey League for their hospitality. We'd also like to thank to our fans and especially our season ticket holders in Calgary and those attending the draft party at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome and hanging out in the TELUS Club. We'd also like to say it's going to be one hell of a party of the Sea of Red when the draft picks go in tonight. With the 18th pick in the 2025 National Hockey League draft, the Calgary Flames are very proud to select from the Victoria Royals, Cole Reshney.
Oh, Lanny McDonald, I know for those of you listening on the radio and not watching any television coverage, still has the best mustache in the history of hockey. Looks so good. But Cole Reshney, the pick, the center from the WHL. Brayton, what do you have on him?
Yeah, Cole Reshney is a guy who really rose up the ranks probably from, you know, when the season started to now. Reshney is just I think he might be one of the best passers. He is so gifted at finding the smallest of holes and the smallest of margins to fit a puck in to get a scoring chance. He moves down the ice really well. He's a quick skater. He's got quick wrists, so he can move a puck fast. He could get play going from one end to the other. Really good transition player. He's also got the soft touch, though, where he can thread the needle and you know, feather a pass, whatever he needs to do. He's small, though. He's very small. He's 5'10", 187 pounds, so he needs to bulk up a little bit. But definitely a guy that the Flames are going to love to have in a few years. And somebody was making mention of Reshney being like the next sort of Jordan Eberle player, where really good playmaker, can move the puck really well, and he's a guy that's probably going to be, you know, representing Team Canada almost every year at like the World Juniors and every international competition just because of the style of play that he brings to the table.
Okay, good stuff there. The Blues at pick 19. Did you see their new uniforms?
I love it. I love them going away from navy blue.
The brighter colors, yes. Look at the Flames jersey that's on TV right now. That's one of the best in the league.
Exactly.
And notice there's no black. There's no darker shade of red.
Nope.
You don't need it. This the straight red and the yellowish gold with the white pops on.
It's so simple,
so
but
good.
It's beautiful.
Right.
It's absolutely beautiful.
The Blues have.
I could have conversations with you about jerseys and logos all day. We could probably do that the rest of the show, and it would probably be better for us to do that anyway.
Well, the NHL. I hate to pile on the NHL because it's so easy.
No, go ahead. Do it.
The NHL, there's so many things to pick on the NHL for of why maybe they're not as good as the other four major sports in terms of how they run their sport. I could go on and on and on and go till midnight. However, I'm not going to do that. The one thing that the NHL crushes the other three major sports is that they have the best uniforms. So why would you not want them to pop on television and sell like crazy and let people see them from miles and miles away? So the bolder, brighter colors and the original colors that when jerseys first came out, those are the ones you go with. That's the Sabres royal blue versus the navy blue. It looks so much better.
Oh,
the
God.
Blues got rid of the navy. Even like, you know, New Jersey going away from that amazing green with the blue or green with the red. I'm sorry, looks so good. They have, of course, now have black. But every team that has these darker shades,
it fits a little better
because it's, I guess, with the Devils, you'd think red and black. I guess, but just all the colors coming back to be nice, brighter colors, getting rid of those darker shades. Winnipeg
and the
stop
blues?
With the eight shades of blue as well. Yeah. Get rid of that. Go back to your royal blue. It would look great.
The blues did the right thing.
They definitely look great.
The Jets need to go back to their old look too.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean the logo they have is cool, I guess. But I mean the Timu Solani years of Winnipeg Jets hockey was awesome.
The Jets that have the J is the stick. Yeah, it looks really good.
Yes.
And if I don't dislike the current logo. I just wish that they would have not gone navy, then lighter navy, then the baby blue and like just be the nice royal blue that you were. And
why the Sabres even went to navy blue in the first place is just beyond me.
Buffalo sports teams, even I'll throw the Bisons and the Bandits in here. In my lifetime, this is the best all of the uniforms have been. The Sabres, I mean, I guess in the 90s, I liked a little bit more of the look of the 90 jersey with the trim around the shoulder, but it's as good as it has been. Mm-hmm. Don't touch it. The Bills uniforms are as good as they have been. Don't touch it. I love the way the Bison's uniforms have been redesigned. Don't touch it. The Bandits, don't touch it. Like, I love the way they all look. All right? I understand, people, you want to sell jerseys. I get it. You can do what you want with third jerseys and alternate. Don't touch the primary home and away. Don't touch them. All right, that's it on that. All right, less jersey
talk. I appreciated your TED Talk, by the way.
Thank you. And you're not disagreeing, so I appreciate that as well.
No, I can't disagree with that.
All right.
One bet.
Radim Mirka, pick 9 for the Buffalo Sabres. Here he is with the media just a few minutes ago.
Just tell us what you're feeling in this moment, the excitement, just what you're experiencing. And can you describe your decision to come to North America this season?
Okay, so first of all, thank you very much. And yeah, I'm excited. Like, it's one of your dreams to be drafted, and especially that high. So I mean, it's an amazing feeling, and yeah, I'm so excited to look to the new city, new team. And what was the next other question?
Just I guess you began last season playing pro hockey at home, and then you went to Seattle. Why?
I want to have some experience with men hockey. And kind of use it later, and it went pretty good for me from the start, but at the end I didn't get a lot of minutes, and it was kind of hard for me to, they just like kind of stopped working with me, so I was just about to leave and they dropped me to juniors so I could play more and kind of be prepared for a transformation to US. And it went pretty good for me since the arrival. I mean, the arrival was pretty hard for me. I couldn't speak English from the start, so nobody just understood me, and I was happy to have a guy with me. And at the end, the season went pretty good for us for Seattle. We at the end make playoffs and play really good at the end of the season, so I was definitely happy.
It was unbelievable. I mean, Craig Walford's coming in this year.
Thank you.
Yeah. Gave you a lot of opportunity. And just that came with confidence, and that confidence took me a long way. Just kept getting better and better. Very happy with the outcome, and excited to take one.
Rachel, I think we're ready for you.
All right. Hi, Radim. Rachel Lindsay from the Buffalo News. First,
hi, Radim. Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you. First off, what do you bring to the Sabres organization, and what stands out about your game?
So I will bring my heart. I will just leave everything for a team to bring the team for the glory. And I'm a two-way player who's trying to be everywhere, help the team as much as I can, and just leave my heart for the team.
And at the same time, what do you need to do to prepare for professional hockey?
Definitely improve my skating. I think it will help me to get to our level. So I would say that. And get stronger. Be more dynamic.
Yeah, I'm a big tournament, 6'5".
And the third, you said you came to North America not knowing English. How did you learn English? What did you do? Did you take classes?
No, I'm done. Actually, like, we learned it in Czechia, and I always thought I'm good in English, but then I arrived, and I couldn't understand, and couldn't even speak. So, I don't know. It just came to me, like, natural. I listen and learn, and it gets so much better during the year. So, yeah, just learn it by the listening.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah,
it means a lot. Every coach seeing an improvement from the first year until now. I mean, I put a lot.
Hi, Radim. Congratulations. Welcome to Buffalo. Well, welcome Buffalo when you get here.
Thank you very much.
When you look at the defensive setup here for the Sabres, and you see the guys that are on this team, what do you think of? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
I mean, the Buffalo have pretty amazing players. For me, especially Dahlin, he's one of the idols who I'm trying to look up and play like him. So it's going to be great to learn from him and play with him. So I'm definitely excited to him.
What is it about Rasmus's game that you like so much?
Like his calmness and his two-way game, that he's able to do everything for a team. And I mean, he's just good. He's just so good.
Appreciate it, Radim. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Hi, Radim. Matt Fairburn from The Athletic. Congratulations. I'm curious, what was the most challenging part for you coming to North America, you know, at such a young age?
First of all, hi, nice to meet you. And I mean, I was kind of prepared for it. I used to live with our family in Czechia for last year in both family. Then we used to play at a small rink, and I play with men, so in this way I was prepared, just the English was hard for me.
And who did you have with you this week? What was the week like just being out in Los Angeles for the draft?
Yeah, I'm here with my parents and with my brother.
And what was it like kind of sharing this moment with them?
I mean, it's incredible. They are definitely proud and happy for me. And I have to thank them because they support me a lot during those years. And I wouldn't be able to make it without them.
Thanks, Radim. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Me again. I was just wondering, can you explain what exactly, you know, your growth was in Seattle? What helped you find that next level maybe and allowed you to be picked 9th overall, kind of your transformation?
I would say the most helped me that the trust which coach put in me. I play a lot of minutes and I try to do everything for the team and for the coaches because they put a trust on me and I didn't want to disappoint. So definitely that they put trust in me and I played a lot. And they are great coaches.
And what would you say was the biggest adjustment to North American hockey on the smaller ice?
I would say it's kind of heavier and faster. Mm-hmm. So those two things that you sometimes have to take a hit to make a play.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions from the group?
Oh, I've got one more.
Okay, hop in.
All right, Radim. Thanks again for letting me ask this question. What did you know about the Buffalo Sabres organization even before you were drafted, you know, coming into this?
I mean, I have been there at the Combine, so mm-hmm. I saw the facility, the rink, and the city. And I just, like, watched the team. Watch the players who you drafted, and even I got a teammate, Scotty Raslav, who played with me in Seattle. So I know a bit, but like I said, like in Czechia, we didn't have like TV, NHL TV in Czechia, and if we had, it was 3 a.m. in the night. So I never really watched NHL, but since I like get better, I started watching, and yeah, I just know a bit.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. That is the Zoom call of the newest Buffalo Sabre, Radim Mertka, big defenseman. For more on the draft pick, you can check out our story about it, WGR550.com. You can also follow along with Brayton Wilson in his mock draft. We'll update the picks that have gone on during that conference call. When we come back, we'll get more of Brayton's take on maybe who's his best player available and more thoughts here on what the Sabres need to do to break this 14-season drought. Yes, it's been 14 seasons in a row since they have missed the playoff. Make the playoffs, yes. Made, missed. We, you know, yes. 14 years. Long time. They haven't been there. We'll see if they can do what it takes here over the next few weeks, drafting, free agency, trades, to get themselves back into a position here to have a successful regular season. With Brayton Wilson, Zach Jones, Evan DePasquale producing, Paul Hamilton in Orchard Park, I'm Brian Colziel. More NHL draft coverage coming up after this timeout on WGR. As we close in on 3 hours here of our draft coverage on WGR, Brian Colziel, Brayton Wilson, Zach Jones, Evan DePasquale, Paul Hamilton out in Orchard Park. Paul is awaiting to hear from Sabres general manager Kevin Adams. Well, we hope if he does speak and talk to the media before our coverage is done, we'll have that for you right here on WGR. You can check out the latest on what is happening with the pick from Radim Mertka. You can go to WGR550.com for that. You can also check out Brayton's NHL mock draft. What would you say, Brayton? You're obviously, you know, every pick that goes by, it gets harder and harder to get it. So we know that. But how are you going to grade yourself here through 20 picks?
I don't know if I like to grade myself in any of my mock drafts. Look, I try to kind of read the tea leaves from what other teams are thinking and then kind of base my picks off that. And then sometimes it's kind of just like, well, you hit a point where you just you know who are some of the good, talented players, and you're just like, yeah, no, that sounds like a good pick to, you know, whoever. I don't care. And then you just make the pick there. I mean, the Columbus Blue Jackets just made a pick that I know the name. I just didn't get the time to actually look him up. But they took a goaltender. So a goaltender has been taken in the first round for the first time in 4 years.
Pyotr Iandreyev, goaltender there from Russia. And then Justin Carbonneau to St. Louis.
Yes.
The pick in front of that. So right winger, Carbonneau, Andreyanov, the goaltender, to the Blues and to the Blue Jackets at 19 and 20, and now Ottawa's on the clock at 21.
And Pyotr Andreyanov played 37 games in the MHL, their Russian junior league, and had a 1.75 goals against average and a 942 save percentage this year, 23-6-6 record. Not bad. And a bigger goaltender, too. Maybe not as big like some of the guys now. 6'2", 207 pounds. But
in some of the drafts that you've been seeing from other guys that follow it, was there a goalie expected to be taken here? Like, was this supposed to be a number one?
Not Pyotr Andreyanov, by any means.
Yes.
I thought it was going to be Joshua Ravensbergen, which he could still.
Yeah.
Joshua Ravensbergen is more so the prototypical big guy goaltender, 6'5". And just really smooth in the net. And again, I just didn't get the chance to get to Andreyanov at any point. He was a name on my list of prospects I wanted to get to.
Yeah.
But every year, it's one of those things where it's just like, I can't get to everyone.
That's right. Yeah. 12 picks still.
There's only
to go.
So much time I have when I'm working news and trying to do sports at the same time. I'm sorry.
That's right. Sabres will next pick in round two at pick 39. That'll be the seventh pick in the round two tomorrow. You can join Brayton and the rest of the gang here for coverage. Brayton, are you part of the coverage tomorrow?
Briefly. Yep. Yeah.
It's coverage starting at 11 a.m. tomorrow as our NHL draft coverage will continue. Okay, 10 o'clock. Let's take another timeout. When we come back here, we'll continue to follow the draft. More reactions on Radim Mirka. We'll look ahead to tomorrow. We'll get Brayton's best player on the board. And Brayton, I'm going to go through here. I'm going to give you the last decade of pick number 9. We'll see what kind of value that has gotten
here. Little Brayton's beautiful mind here.
Yes.
Let me guess which one it was.
Sure.
All right.
I'll tell you the team.
You're going
to
have to tell me
who.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll give you the team.
I'll give you a guess.
So we'll go through the last decade of pick 9 and kind of see what kind of value is there, because that's where obviously Radim Mirka went for the Buffalo Sabres here today. More of our NHL draft coverage continuing here as we pump into our beginning of hour 4. We're rolling on here on WGR.